Good morning, everybody. As you will know, we're going to be looking at the Psalms over the coming months. And I'm going to start today with the last verses of Psalm 19. You will realise once I say these that you've heard me say them many times before. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I hope, like me, you have a friend who you can be yourself with, someone who you can put the world to rights with, someone who you can have a laugh with, and someone with whom conversation flows freely, you know, where you don't have to think about how you're going to phrase something just in case you offend them. Since the beginning of the year, I've been reading a psalm each week and spending time meditating on it, which is really just a posh way to say I've been reading it and deliberately thinking about a phrase that stands out during the week. It's amazing how each time I've found spiritual nourishment that hits the spot. And I guess that sums up the Psalms. They're particularly in touch with all of life's emotions. They're conversations with a friend with whom you can be completely yourself, whatever your mood or circumstance. The Psalms help us to develop that friendship, that deep friendship with our Creator God, to pray in both a formal manner and in gasps and cries, covering every passion known to humanity. It's been said that all our prayers boil down to two things, either thank you or help me. Sometimes help me is all that we're capable of uttering, and that's fine. God knows what we cannot articulate. But using the Psalms gives voice to our longings, our questions, our praise, and it helps us to express how we're feeling in an earthy and real way without using niceties or polite, dull and polished words that convey little. The Psalms are honest and gritty, unafraid to grapple with questions of injustice, longing and God's seeming absence. While some Psalms are laments, others are thanksgiving, and others are part of wisdom. Walter Brueggemann has famously divided the Psalms into three categories. Psalms of orientation, describing settled times of well-being, joy and delight in the goodness and reliability of God, in his creation and his laws. I've only ever come across one person who does not agree with Psalm 19:1 that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." And as well as celebrating God's creation, there's a celebration of God's faithfulness, remembering times of deliverance, healing, liberation, and assurance of God's presence and ultimate victory feature too. Psalms such as the well-loved Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. But secondly, Brueggemann also categorises the Psalms of disorientation, illuminating seasons of hurt, alienation, suffering, death and dislocation, times that evoke in us a rage or self-pity, hatred and isolation. These Psalms are ragged and painful. They're passionate poetry. And sometimes they actually seem a step too far, brutally insolent and vengeful at times. Ian Stackhouse writes, "I felt at times as if the whole of the Psalter was just one great outpouring of grief. Indeed, there were moments when I even wondered if the psalmist had stepped over the line of what is permissible in terms of approaching God. There were times when it felt like downright manipulation." Yet reading these psalms from the standpoint of a cry of justice, they make more sense. Anger at injustice does not necessarily mean revenge. Cries for God to punish the wicked are longings for God's rule of peace and justice, a gut-wrenching exclamation for God to wipe out evil and replace it with his love. As Christians, we like to cherry-pick out cheery verses for a friend, glossing over their struggles sometimes. When this does little to lift spirits and often produces feelings of guilt instead. Historically, church culture has are sometimes taught us to deny or hide pain and suffering, pretending that all will be well if we follow God. That can induce feelings of guilt. But we won't find nice platitudes in the Psalms. The use of hyperbole can often offend our religious sensibilities, sometimes even blaming God, making Yahweh responsible for calamity, sometimes almost bargaining with him. Yet this expresses genuine faith in a God who is reliable and who we can trust to bring about change and liberation. Just as our own personal understanding of God develops and grows over time, as the phrase goes, there is yet more truth and light to break forth from his word. So too we see theology developing in scripture. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. Simplistic ideas of the good being rewarded and evil punished become nuanced as scripture develops over time. We see this in the Psalms and Deuteronomy and wisdom literature as well. They question the assumption and rationale that if God is good and just, how can there be evil in the world? Finally, there are the Psalms of reorientation. For those times when joy breaks through our despair, light replaces darkness, when we thought all was lost, and discover afresh a God who is with us in changing circumstances. In fear, chaos and disarray, both personal and communal. The Psalms show us that it's okay to rant at God. He's not seduced by eloquent words and niceties. It's raw and honest passion that connects us to him. Profound praise, anger and doubt are all expressed to a God who remains faithful, whatever the conditions. Jesus regularly quoted and referred to the Psalms. In fact, the New Testament has been called one long commentary on the Psalms. The first Christians would have readily recognised times Jesus was quoting them, probably more than we do today. But we read Psalm 22, for instance, with different eyes to those who first read it. As that great green theologian Schreck would say, Psalms have layers. I can't do it in his voice. This is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me, they pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. We immediately equate this with the cries of Jesus on the cross, but this would have been beyond the first hearer's comprehension. And here we are, the Psalms. There is beauty and depth in the passages that we will be looking at over the summer months. Jesus had no shame at throwing questions at God. It was a sign of deep faith. One can only feel abandoned if you have an intimate relationship in the first place. The Psalms offer us this space to ask difficult questions. Life is full of disorientation, and yet we find a God who meets us in these spaces as well as in joyful times. But whether lamenting at the state of the world or praising a faithful God who never abandons us, the Psalms are there to be used. Psalm 16:5 reads, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. And this is a great place to start. Simply as you hold a cup of tea or whatever you like to drink, maybe every time you have a drink or just in the morning, remembering that God provides for you, that his grace is sufficient, that he is our portion. And similarly, Psalm 5:3 in the Passion Translation reads, At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. The Psalms invite us to pause in God's presence. And I do hope that over the coming months, you will find delight in doing so, guided and inspired by this magnificent poetry. Each morning, preparing to meet with God and waiting upon him and the fire of his spirit to fall upon us. We're going to end now by listening to two psalms. Ben's going to read a paraphrase of Psalm 4, followed by Rose, who's reading a modern day psalm.
Dear God, respond to your servant in distress. Make room for a disciple in despair. Listen to the agonizing cries of a child who is depressed and unhappy. O you who I thought were my friends, why do you keep hacking at me, gloating over my errors, rejoicing at my failures, always looking for the very worst in me? I must remember that I truly do belong to God, that he does feel for me when I am hurt. Go ahead, explode, cry out or complain. It doesn't frighten God, but guard that you don't hurt anyone else. Then, O foolish heart, simmer down and renew your confidence in God. I hear voices around me whining about the wickedness of the world, begging for divine demonstration of might and right. And yet I know I have discovered more delight in my relationship with you, O Lord, than they in all their possessions and pleasures. And so I can lay down and sleep in peace. Because of you, I am eternally secure.
I will sing to you loudly and out of tune from the shower. I will sing to you quietly, under my breath, on the bus to work. I will sing to you with half-remembered words, and I will make up the rest as best I can. I will sing to you joyfully, to you when things are going well. I will occasionally choke out a reluctant song when they are not. I will sing to you because you are you, and I will be inconsistent because I am me.